This call is now being recorded.
I know. Jump out the nearest window. The government is on to you. Okay.
Yeah, this is the Solar Brothers podcast. I am Gun.
The Gun One with all the gun. I have a gun. And make money with it.
I am tech. I am so up in the tech that I have tech in me at all times.
Tech mech. He's
exactly.
He's mostly machine. He's more machine than man.
Nowadays, usually, yeah.
Although
there is a largest percentage of me that's prescription medicines right now too.
Wow. That's very meta.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's very meta medical, not meta. I am also more politics guy, and he's more pop culture, music, and TV guy.
I'd say that's a slightly unfair characterization. My thought is, all the political stuff is screwed up. We have absolutely no control over it. So what can you and I do to save the world from where we are? And how can we enjoy the world that we have around us?
Right.
Whereas you are the political one. I am the dreamer.
So can I just say, I woke up today, my head's spinning, and my bachelor pad, still very much bachelor pad. It was like noon. I was alone on a couch with a TV that was still on. And just, I don't remember anything for the past few days, but there's like the top of a wedding cake in my freezer. And I'm nervous. I'm very worried. I don't know what's happened. I'm afraid I may have married someone.
You married someone very wonderful.
Oh, but see, this is what I'm really afraid of. This is what I'm really afraid of, is I already married our producer the weekend before. So I'm afraid I married someone else. tell me I haven't gone on a spree.
Yes. As far as I know, you are still married to only one producer.
Okay, good. All right. There's
always the chance that there's some unaccounted for time that I wasn't present for, but to the best of my knowledge, you still are not a Mormon.
Yes. I'm not a member of one of those fun religions that allows you to, you know, marry a bunch of people and kill whoever you want. that's another disappointment in my life.
There's always the chance we could create one of those religions.
but my idea was, instead of extra wives, it was just that, like, hookers are okay. That was the...
Oh, there you go.
That was the thought, that, you know, because that would be more cost-effective than literally taking care of a whole other family addendum, you know? Like, no, it's just like, yeah, no, it's as long as you love God and your wife enough, you can go have hooker parties. What was that?
Remember we discussed that? That's the Feast of Alvis. That's already been covered on C-Lab as an actual...
Yes, yes. The beer and liquor hoot nanny. I was thinking today, too, about how the Al-Shabaab network has been threatening the malls of the United States. Now, if you're not familiar with the Al-Shabaab network, it's not that channel that's a little too high up on your cable that you skip by that tells world news. That's something else. The Al-Shabaab network is a Al-Qaeda-linked Sunni terrorist group that's one of the separate but equal branches of terrorism that likes to, you know, kill in a separate but equal way. They are black, and they kill other black people in Africa. Because, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood likes to fund people of all colors of around the world, but they just don't like to mix with them, you know. And they don't want any colored person that's true colored, only olive-toned people in Egypt and Yemen and Saudi Arabia. So they like to keep all that stuff in Mali and Somalia. Anyway, they are threatening the Mall of America just by saying, hey, other guys, go do that stuff over there, which I realized is such a, terrorism is such a hard sell. Even if a religion is kind of like pre-radicalized, it's a really hard sell to get people to kill themselves for a thing, because that's psychotic. And most humans, if you're going to dissect most humans' brains, you would most likely find them either sociopathic or almost sociopathic. And by that I mean, they don't do altruistic stuff, generally, and the populist religions will convince them to do altruistic stuff, seemingly altruistic stuff, but explaining to them that doing seemingly altruistic stuff will help them later in the afterlife. Now, it's really hard to convince people to literally do something that will kill themselves.
The interesting thing is, I mean, there's been things showing that, you know, they actively go after people who are the loners. I mean, I don't know enough about Al-Shabaab to talk about this, but, you know, some of the other ones, the famous,
Hamas, the one that does what you,
they care of people that are basically on that borderline thing anyway, and then they hype up the whole, hey, you know, you're going to get ice cream blowjobs after you die, basically. You know, everything's going to be wonderful. There'll be showers of happiness coming down on you. You know, stuff sucks right now, but don't worry, after you kill yourself for our cause, everything will be fantastic. You know, the problem is, the scary thing is the ones that you know, take that at face value, it's actually, the amazing thing is, you know, groupthink. Humans, by our very nature, we are absolutely agreeable to any group. You can get people to agree, and there's a study on this. They had people sit in a room, and they had a couple of lines drawn there, and they had two people emphatically say, well, this line's clearly longer than this line. And people, you know, the people who are actually being studied would agree. And mentally, they can even sometimes make that line longer for themselves. And so the same thing. Once you're in a group and somebody starts strapping bombs to themselves, there's going to be a compulsion of yours to try to rationalize a way that you are also like them, that you have that, you know, you have the same drive, the same compulsion. You know, you're not going to be the coward that backs down.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things I've noticed ever since I was a little kid, where, you know, find me a little kid who doesn't like spaghetti. Well, in a classroom of 20 people, there's going to be probably one who doesn't like spaghetti. Well, if that's the kid that yells loudest, ew, spaghetti, gross, then all the other kids who used to like spaghetti start going, ew, I don't like spaghetti either. So yeah, I remember noticing that when I was a little kid, and yeah, that does make sense. It's sort of the group hypnotism stuff that goes along with populist religions, which is why most populist religions, I'm very cynical about it, but I do know that they serve a purpose, which is to tell, you know, little Jimmy bag of crap that, hey, don't be a bag of crap, because later on you get magic presents, you know, which is either populist religion or Santa Claus. So now convincing people to kill themselves is either, like you said, they'll seek out mentally deficient people or people who are mentally ill, and explain to them that they want to do this because, you know, screw the man. Nothing ever works out for you, but this is going to work out for you.
When people talk about rape heaven, you know, the 72 virgins heaven, that's kind of using the populist trick of, when you die, you get to go to a wonderful place where everything's good for you. Well, to really nail it home for the less physically endowed man who just wants to blow stuff up, the best heaven for him is a place where there's unexperienced young girls who won't know how bad he is and how small his penis is for at least 72 times. And then he just gets to rape them over and over. And that's his idea of heaven. So, you know, that's just disturbing.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
It's a vision of heaven where nobody is ever going to be talking about football, you know?
I never asked anybody the mechanics on this. Do they go back to being like a virgin, or is it like you get 72 and that's it?
No, they are renewed. The one time I had a friend who was, you know, open and friendly enough to discuss it, he implied that yes, they'd be renewed, so it's always 72 virgins.
You know, that's the word. Hey, okay, can I just say, I'm just going to speak openly here. I had a friend tell me about being with virgins, and he said it was kind of like, okay, imagine, like, there's a brick wall with about a crack in it, and you're trying to punch a brick wall with a crack in it, which fits your whole fist into that crack in the brick wall. Does that sound like something that would be like a fun, like a fair fist fight, you know?
Is that
like a fun thing you want to do to over and over for all eternity? Unless maybe you have a very tiny fist. And your fist could fit into a crack, kind of like in a brick wall.
There's going to be crying in blood, and I've never quite understood, you know, okay, well, what do the women get that die, you know, I don't know. It doesn't hold up to a lot of scrutiny, but that is a religion that offers very strict penalties if you do scrutinize, so.
Yeah, it's not.
This is my
aggravation, too, with the American conservative people attacking the concept of American liberalism sticking up for Islam in a lot of ways, and they go, oh, these liberal Muslims, and blah, blah, and it's like, no, you're missing the entire, instead of attacking their crazy point of view at face value, you sound even crazier, you know, when you do that. So what you should do is just take out the entire boats by pointing out that there is no liberalism and Islam at all. Islam is the most hyper-conservative Jonesboro Baptist Church times a million concept, especially when you talk about radical Islam. It doesn't get any more crazy right-wing than that, which is why I love people like Hitchens and Bill Maher who actually point that out and go, hey, this is not a liberal thing, and as a liberal, I cannot support this as, well, it's a good alternative to those crazy Christians. And it's like, no, you're just a contrarian. You're not a real liberal if you are supporting Islamic fundamentalism. If you're supporting any kind of fundamentalism, you're not a liberal. You're not a real liberal. So that's why I take out the whole boat and just say, yeah, my fake liberal friends who stick up for radical Islam, because they are. They're fake liberals. They're not real liberals. No real liberal would go, well, it's their choice to be beat by their husbands, and we, as white people, shouldn't at all criticize them because they have made a choice to be subjugated. You're like, what? Shut up.
What I was going with before is, you know, there were some people saying, oh, we need to mock this stupid concept of them just trying to throw something out there and radicalize people. You know, I mean, it's the whole thing, you know, if somebody is disassociated, disaffected person, and they're right. in that group. If they're already,
that's what we saw.
If you're the type of person who can take an order from somebody over the internet, about anything, then you're in the danger group to be one of the participants. Now, the one thing I wonder, when you saw the clips of this today, I didn't know where the censoring was coming from, whether it was coming from Al-Shabaab or if it was coming from my news source, but they had the eyes of the Al-Shabaab person masked out.
Oh, no, did you watch it on CNN?
No,
CNN will do that. CNN will be like, well, this guy is the guy that's wanted, but these three guys next to him high-fiving over a dead body, we don't know who they are, so we'll go ahead and put some privacy faces over their eyes, because we don't want to, possibly get any violence against those fine fellows. Like, show me all of them. Go through a phone book and start reading people with similar names.
I was like, okay, are we trying to protect the identity of a person who's calling for people to be killed? Or I'm hoping that was done by Al-Shabaab and not by our guys.
We are doing that already with Jihadi John. A long time ago, they said, CNN even said, hey, we've been told we think that the authorities are saying that this is this rapper. There was a rapper from England who was of Pakistani descent, I think, and he was saying a whole bunch of super anti-Western stuff in rap songs, and then he disappeared on a plane flight to Turkey to go fight in Syria and never was heard from again. And now there's Jihadi John. So they're saying, hey, we've never seen these two guys in the same place before. And that story got told instantly, and they never even gave the guy's name even in the story. So it's like, why not? I mean, that's the whole thing. That's the whole reason why you fight the West, is because, holy crap, have you ever tried to fight Muslims, Have you ever tried to fight Jordan? As a Sunni Muslim extremist, I've been told I should fight the wishy-washy Muslims first, but, oh man, those guys have jet planes. So I'm going to fight the West instead, because they will literally let me kiss my grandma on the cheek, say, okay, I'm going to go fight the West, leave her in her London flat with my brothers and sisters, my mom, my dad, and then I get to go and chop off British people's heads while my family is in Britain, and I know for a fact that British people will be like, I can't possibly make things uncomfortable for them. That wouldn't be polite. The best thing is that we're polite and civil. We don't want to be like them. Like, no. Audit them with your tax system. Okay? If you go, hey, we're pretty sure that your son took a business expense trip that he didn't note last year to raise funds for terrorism in another country. So we're going to have to audit you, and we're ever so apologetic for the inconvenience. Make life a little bit... I know it's impossible for them to do that, but maybe they should just try to make life a little bit uncomfortable for people who literally pat their family on the back as they go over and cause trouble for Arab Muslim allies and Western journalists and aid workers overseas.
Yeah, and the fact that they kill aid workers and all, I mean, it's like, okay, it drops my jaw. But the thing is, okay, you and I have a couple of cousins that are shipped. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, my wife's wallet vanished forever out of the car or, from somewhere at the family thing. And so, I mean, I would hate to have, my health and well-being held up to, wherever, whichever family member absconded with the stuff, and so, I mean, and as a matter of fact, right now, there's a couple of girls, that might have, voluntarily gone over to be ISIS brides And the whole reason we know about that is because other members of their family are going, don't do this thing, come back,
right.
You know, these are terrible people. So, I mean, you know, that, you know, it, you want to, there are divisions, there are,
no,
you know, there
and,
are.
And that's the thing, you know, people, when I talked about Islam as being totalitarian and definitely not liberal, I'm not saying it's bad. I know plenty of conservative friends that are really excellent people, and there are Muslims that are excellent people. They're just not liberal. They're very conservative people. I'm not going to go back on saying that Islam isn't a conservative thing. It's a very conservative thing. So no, and that was one of the things I pointed out with one of my friends who. I was talking about there are Muslims that I would literally consider to be brothers in this war against terrorism if they would just stand up and say that. But CNN, to show how open and loving CNN was and politically correct, they coached about 20 Muslim people to come on their show and coached them to say, well, we don't need to say that this affects us. Terrorist attacks in London. In Paris. We don't need to say this upsets us because we're not the ones who did it. Which, can I just say, that's kind of like, you know, when there's a dead puppy on the TV and everyone in the room goes, oh, that's so sad. And there's that one guy going, that's not sad. I didn't do it. Why should I feel sorry? Would you be friends with that guy? No, of course not. You'd think he's an a-hole. And so CNN, yeah, to show how open-minded they are, coached all these Muslims to look like a-holes. And that kind of caught on like wildfire. Well, we don't need to do that. We don't need to say openly that, like, radicalism is bad because we're not the ones doing it. It's like, no, you can say radicalism is bad because it is. You don't have to be the one doing it. And, mind you, if they had said this, because the CNN reporter put it to them like this, saying, now, people say that maybe you should apologize on behalf of these people, but you don't really feel like you have to, do you? Because you're moderate, and you don't feel the need to do that, right? That's how they would pose the question, literally coaching them on air. Now, if the person just sort of put their hand up and said, wait a second, I am a Muslim, and these guys are saying Muslim stuff while they're doing these crimes against humanity. And to be honest, it horrifies me as a Muslim because it reminds me of last month, and speaking of that time, last month when radical Sunni Muslims, just like the ones in that kosher market and just like the ones in the Charlie Hebdo paper, killed hundreds of students in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And it horrifies me to think that they're doing this everywhere. I thought this was just an us problem until I saw everything that they're doing all around the world. And yes, we need to speak out and we need to say how horrible it is and discourage any Muslim from being radicalized. If they said that, I'd be like, wow, these are brothers. We have the same backpack, which we do.
And there's some that have said that they say, yeah, we're sorry this attack happened. We're sorry that they said this in the name of my religion, you know. But everybody then employs the no true Scotsman defense and says, but they weren't really Islam, you know, because...
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, so basically, oh, you define Islam as anybody who's not doing the thing that I don't think is good, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the thing that bothers me, too, is...
The ISIS people would say the same thing about the people that are condemning them. They'd say, well, they're not true Islam.
Yeah. Well, and my aggravation, too, is... Well, they're not true, you know, Obama saying, these aren't true Islamic people and all this, saying these statements over and over again. And then, for some reason, our administration, especially under the Hillary Clinton State Department years, supported the Muslim Brotherhood. And as far as I know, they still do, and they're still upset about one of my favorite Arab leaders, General Sisi, taking out the Muslim Brotherhood leader, who, after a violent, forced election, elected Mohamed Morsi to be the elected president of Egypt, who then immediately called himself the supreme leader, voiding his constitutional election and allowing for legally the ousting of power by a coup d'etat from the military. And a lot of people are like, he was an elected official. They shouldn't have done that. Like, he was a hyper-conservative right-wing nut job whose first act, his party's first act, was to pass a bill that allowed men to have sex with their dead wives for about 8 hours after they died. Like, they're nut jobs. These are hyper-religious, hyper-conservative nut jobs, and no liberal anywhere, especially the United States of America, should be stomping their feet, throwing a hissy fit about one of them being thrown out of power. These are guys who raped one of our news anchors while she was reporting from Tahrir Square. And they're going, this is a jubilant situation, and then they rape her. Because women should not have rights. That's what the Muslim Brotherhood thinks, okay? These are bad people, and they voided the Constitution when they said that their leader was the supreme leader, and General Sisi took them over. General Sisi stepped in and said, okay, we've had enough of this. You guys can go back to your Sunni Muslim Klan rally, and I'm going to run this place like an actual country. And so the Muslim Brotherhood, who our government supports, and who the Muslim Brotherhood, that is, supports ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Arabian Peninsula, and like I said, writing checks to Al-Shabaab Network and Boko Haram, because, you know, they don't like blacks living in Egypt, but they don't mind if they kill other blacks elsewhere. And we support the Muslim Brotherhood, and we think they're really Muslim, and they think Islamic State's really Muslim. So, yeah, it does make me think, oh, so they're not real Muslims, huh?
And it's one of the things I think there's no level of involvement we can go with these nut jobs. I mean, no matter who you support, why are we getting involved in the internal affairs of other countries? You know, whenever it's still up in the air. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole thing where they're saying, Hosni Mubarak was a dictator. Hosni Mubarak was a dictator. And I go, yeah, well then, you know, so was Mohamed Morsi. And also, why did the Muslim Brotherhood need our help to oust Hosni Mubarak? And why did we help them?
What? Why didn't we just say the isolationist thing of why are we messing around with this other country to begin with?
Seems like Hosni Mubarak has it locked down pretty good. But instead, we see protests and go, oh my gosh, we have to stand with those protesters. Well, the Boston Tea Party was a protest. And as an American, I'm an integrated tie to all protests everywhere. And, you know, you don't listen to what the people are saying at the protest. You don't do that. Don't go, what are they saying? Oh, women are just baby cannons. And women are baby cannons. Men are for sex. What else? Death to Israel, death to Americans, death to black people, death to Muslims that don't feel the exact same way that we do. And did we mention the baby cannon thing about women and that's all they're good for? Okay, yes, all right. As a liberal American, I still stand with these guys because all of that was in Arabic. I didn't understand one word.
It's shades of back when Iran was, you know, they had their revolutions.
In 1979.
Because you had the communist ones where you had, you know, tons of girls out there who were like, yes, here, we're going to overthrow our government, you know, overthrow the Shah. He's you know, a dictator. He's taking all the money. And so, you know, they helped overthrow the government. And then as soon as the Ayatollah rolls in, and then they kill all the women that were part of the riots and uprising to overthrow the government that allowed them to come in. It's
with the Comité and Hezbollah That's an excellent point. But my aggravation is they kind of threw one over on the people. The people there were like, "Hey, we don't know what we're getting. All we know is what we got is bad." You know?
Yeah.
That's what kind of allowed the people of Iran to be snookered back in 1979 was they were saying, if you read papers by Mossadegh and some of these other Iranian revolutionarians, sorry. If you read some of their papers, you go, wow, they had some really great, very progressive points. Now, all they knew was, we're going to get rid of this dictator. So they do, and then the guy with the biggest gang took over less than 6 months after. Now, here's my aggravation. That happened before the World Wide Web. That happened before everybody knew everything about everyone. And that happened with a lot of people stating very liberal, very progressive mottos and wishes before the situation happened. So the revolution went down. Now, my aggravation with this entire situation in Egypt is, holy crap, these guys are a known entity. We knew that they were way more conservative than the Ayatollah of Iran was. We knew they were genocidal maniacs. This is during the time of satellites that can take pictures of you from space. This is during the time when the internet's out there and you, as a crazy right-wing nutjob, can post your manifesto online that says we want to kill every Jew on the planet, that says women shouldn't have the right to do things that men do, and men own women when they marry them, that says hyper-conservative stuff every second of the day through Twitter and Facebook, and we still don't take them at their word and say instead the platitudes that we want them to be saying. And we say, they don't like him because he's a dictator. And we just ignore everything that these Arabs are saying in Arabic that we can translate in an instant and read what they're really saying. And instead of translating what they're really saying, we just say what we want them to say. Because we're liberals.
Well, Egypt is still, just this last week, there's the story about the girl who was gang raped. And she was arrested for being in a car with a man that wasn't a relative. And she complained to the press, and so they changed it from, you know, some number of lashes to 3 years in prison. And it's like, she's the victim, and yet she's the one getting the punishment. That's just sick and wrong, no matter how you slice it. And I don't know how anybody could defend that regime at all in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Well, and that's the issue, too. One of my friends was saying, well, they were a democracy, and they democratically elected a leader, and there's no reason why you should be happy that democratically elected leader got thrown out. And I had to point out to him that, and he even said, well, you as an American are being hypocritical, because America supported the democratic rule of that. I said, I never did, because I knew, as a liberal, that country was over 90% pro-female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
90%. Over 90% pro the destruction of Israel. That's a neighboring country. You might be the biggest anti-Semite in the world, sure, but do you think we, Americans, should go blow up Canada just because you don't like Canada? You know? Hey, even if you're the biggest anti-Semite, you might go, well, I could see how that'd be a drain on resources. Right? Maybe a little bit? I don't know. My point, they were a majority hyper-conservative people. And I know. Maybe people get democratic mixed up with liberal, which they shouldn't. But they might, and that being the case, might not understand how a liberal like myself could stand firmly with my foot planted on the foundation of the earth, firmly state, those people
shouldn't have democracy because the majority of them are bad at decision making.
It's one of those. My thing is we've never gotten involved in anything there ever and made it better. All we end up doing is taking our tax dollars and making every situation over there worse. All right,
yeah.
I have to go. We will pick this up tomorrow.
All right, I will talk to you later.
All right,
and
good
night to the internet. I would say good night to the internet all before you hang up. Everybody tip your servers and five-star your Uber drivers. Good night, everybody.